But Paul prayed a prayer in Ephesians, and then one in Colossians also. There are parallel prayers. And we have to have the Holy Spirit to really be strong. So in the middle of this prayer, I'm just going to get right in the middle of this prayer in Ephesians 3:16. He prayed that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he prayed for internal strength. When we're strong, it starts inside. So he's praying, again, Ephesians 3:16, he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I'll pray that prayer a lot of time for myself. And then Colossians 1:11 is a parallel text. He doesn't use the word Holy Spirit here, but it's a parallel text. And I love this. I've just been memorizing Colossians 1, so it's real fresh to me. And I'll show you what kind of strength he's talking about here. He's not talking about physical strength, the spiritual strength. This is a very powerful verse, 1:11, a very powerful Colossians 1:11. He says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Now here, that's good. Just those words right there are great. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. But then here's what we're strengthened unto. What do we need strength in? Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And that's strong. That's a powerful verse. Let me read that to you and let's talk about that a little bit. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And here's what we're strengthened to. Unto all patience. That word patience means endurance. We have to really endure this world we live in. We have all kinds of trials, you know that. And we have to fight the devil continuously. So we're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And that's a great combination, isn't it? You think, well, if you've got to be patient and you've got to long suffer, you can't be joyful. That's not the case with a Christian. We know we're having a hard time sometimes, but real down deep inside, we're joyful. So that's a powerful verse. I love both those verses very much. And now let's go to a couple of Old Testament scriptures. And what I'm concentrating on right now is we're made strong by the Holy Spirit. I've got some other things I want to say to you. Some of this is going to be very, very practical. Let me ask you a question right now. What's some ways you can be filled with the Holy Spirit? There's several ways I know that the Bible teaches plainly to help us be filled with the Holy Spirit. What are some of them? He said, be filled with the Spirit over there in Ephesians 5. So what's one way we can be filled with the Spirit? Well, okay. He said that in Ephesians 5. If you start at verse 18 and keep on going. But what I really got in mind is Luke 11:13. It's not being very fair because I had that already in mind. But he talked there about prayer. It's a powerful thing on prayer from Luke 11, 1 through 13 is powerful. And that's when the man beats on the door and says, give me some loaves of bread. I've got a friend coming to me, and he will not answer the plea because he's his friend, but because of his importunity. And then that says in 11:13 that if we then, being evil, give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So if we pray to get the Holy Ghost. Also, we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So we're going to try to be obedient. Now let me give you two Old Testament scriptures, just powerful Old Testament scriptures. I hope you leave here tonight wanting to be strong and maybe feeling even stronger before you leave. I feel stronger just studying some of this today. And I give a printout to anybody that wants to. I got about three pages here. I just did a study on the times that word strong is mentioned and strength and things like that. But some of these are powerful. Look at over Micah 3:8. Micah, the minor prophet, chapter 3, verse 8. I'll take my time for some of y'all who want to find it. Micah chapter 3, verse 8. Okay? This is really something. This is one of my favorite verses. But truly, I'm full of power of the Spirit of the Lord. There's more to that. That's all I'm going to read. But truly, I'm full of power of the Spirit of the Lord. That's a powerful scripture, isn't it? So these are all powerful scriptures. We don't have to go around being weak all the time. The devil wants us to be weak all the time. And like I say, we have so many enemies, even our own self and how simple we are, we can feel weak. But we don't need to be weak at all. God doesn't ever tell us to be weak, except in our, you know, when we don't want to be trusting our own selves. So that Micah again, Old Testament, but truly, I'm full of power about the Spirit of the Lord. Then also in Zechariah, another minor prophet. In chapter 4, verse 6. I'm just going to quote part of that verse, the part I want. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So that's four scriptures now Ephesians 3:16, Colossians 1:11, Micah 3:8, Zechariah 4:6 that talk about being strong as we're full of the Holy Spirit. And Paul prayed that for the churches. He did that in both the Colossians and Ephesians. And again, I'll quote that first one. He said to be strengthened with might by his spirit in inner man. Okay, now let me go to something else. I want to talk about some spiritual weapons God gives us. Talk about the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about some spiritual weapons God gives us. And I'm going to, I wish I had time to preach on all this, but I don't. But if I just read them, I hope it'll help you. And I'll give you a list of these scriptures if you want them. Let's look at these spiritual weapons. And of course, the classic is over in Ephesians chapter 6. And what amazes me about this verse is every word in the Greek New Testament that is used for strength, just about like everyone, is right here. I think all of them are here in Ephesians 6:10. So I'm going to read Ephesians 6:10. I'm going to keep on reading until I get through the whole armor of God. So I'm just going to be brief about this. I hope you'll not let this go in one ear and out the other. My prayer is that some people will be strengthened here, and you'll actually consider some of these scriptures yourself. But look at verse 10. That's a powerful verse. In fact, I remember one time I preached a meeting out at Big Spring, Texas, and all the way out there I was quoting scriptures, and I got so locked in on verse 10, I preached the whole meeting on Ephesians 6:10. It's such a powerful verse. Finally, my brethren, get this. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There's three words right there for powers. They're not exact synonyms, but close synonyms. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. That's something else, isn't it? You see, Paul in prison when he wrote that. He's in prison when he wrote that. He wrote to persecuted people. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Well, that's good that you say that, Paul, but how do I do that? Then he tells us how to do it. So I'm just going to read it to you. You know it anyway, because you're Bible readers, but maybe you can concentrate on this. Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, who the devil's after us. He's trying to hurt us. He's trying to drag our lives down. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, folks, that's a spirit battle. He's talking about demons here. He means demons. All the words are talking about demons. The devil's got a whole army, a hierarchy of demons, and they bother us. We don't see them, they bother us. Wherefore, he said, taking you the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Then we get practical with this thing. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Here's truth. The truth will make you free. Where do you get truth from? The Bible, right? You've got to be in the Bible. You won't make it unless you're in the Scriptures. I don't know how you've been doing this week, but you've got to be in the Word. It's impossible to stay from unless you're in the Word. So I got my loins girt about with truth. And the devil will do everything he can to keep you away from the Word of God. I know that. He'll get you too busy or get you too distracted. Or you'll hesitate, or you'll wait till too late at night to get anything out of it. He's got all kinds of tricks. He's done all of it against me. He's always working on me. I know he's working on me. So I overcome sometimes. In fact, a lot of times, sometimes I don't. But I know he's always after me. He's after you also. Okay. Your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And that's two things at least. If you think about the righteousness of Christ, that's probably what he's talking about. And if you know that I'm not guilty in God's eyes, then that helps you a lot, doesn't it? Because if you look at yourself and feel guilty, you don't feel like fighting sometimes. I've sinned. I've had this bad thought. I just give up. But no, God doesn't hold that against me, ultimately, because I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's no condemnation even now. But it's also, I believe, talking about personal righteousness. Because if I don't keep my conscience clean, I'm going to be weak. So, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you're doing the right thing. Like you're in church tonight. I compliment you being in church. You ought to be in church, but I still compliment you. Even though you shouldn't be here, it's your duty. But it's also, I'm glad you're here. Some of you probably had a hard time coming. But we've got a lot to be thankful for, and even have a church to go to. And to have the freedom we have to worship God. But you're in the right place. Our feet are shod in preparation of the gospel of peace. We need the gospel. We need the gospel. I'm glad I love the gospel. I know some preachers who don't even want to go to a meeting unless they're doing all the preaching. I'm not one of them. I like to preach, but I like to hear preaching also. And I need preaching. Above all, that means overall, not more important than the rest, but it means overall, taking the shield of faith where I believe God promises, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the what? Fiery darts of the wicked. That's right, fiery. I mean, he sends some fiery darts sometimes, doesn't he? Tremendous temptation. Tremendous worry. Lose a job. Get sick. Almost fall into some horrible sin. All kinds of stuff. If we have fiery darts, the devil sends us. But this shield of faith tells me lots of different promises. One of them is, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So that's some spiritual weapons God gives us. But I'm going to read some more. I know I'm getting a lot of scriptures. That's all I'm going to do tonight, give scriptures. One of the ways we have to be a weapon is to be obedient. To be obedient to God. I'm going to read you some things about obedience. Deuteronomy 11:8. I get two scriptures from the Old Testament, then some from the New Testament on being obedient. Okay, they're going to go into Canaan's land in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8. This is good. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it. If you keep my commandments, you'll be strong. It's the same as true today. We'll be strong. But when we're disobedient, we get weak. So what do? We got to repent quickly. Get back on track with God. That's what we got to do. We got to get back with God, got to fellowship with God, get that strength again. He said, if you will obey me, follow my command, you're going to be strong, he said. Now, Joshua is the man who led them into Canaan's land. And look what he says in the book of Joshua chapter 1. I'll read you 6 through 9 here. And he's going to have to be obedient to God's word. And God charged him 4 or 5 times that first chapter, be strong and be courageous. So he charged us today too, because we're trying to take our Canaan's land, our personal Canaan's land. We're trying to fulfill our mission God given us on this earth. So we have enemies just like they had to conquer. And so this is applicable to us. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Just notice how many times God tells them to do this. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Here we go. You've got to be obedient. That you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If you follow my commandments, you will prosper. Then this verse 8, a classic. I memorized this verse 8 a long time ago. This book of the law, the Bible, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein every now and then. Wrong translation. 2 or 3 days a week. 5 minutes right before you go to sleep. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's true of you and me both. It's simple, but it needs to be said a lot of times, doesn't it? Isn't that wonderful? And then have I not commanded thee, be strong, of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know, I hear a lot of fear in people's voices today, lots of fear, with the elections that are coming up, lots of fear. And our country is going down a terrible path, but I'm not really afraid like I used to be. I hate what's going on. I don't like who's over us. I think the wickedness is terrible. I know more about it than a lot of y'all do because I do a lot more reading. And it's frightening, the prospects. But I know who's on the throne, too. I know who's on the throne. I know who's got the king's heart in his hand. I know that he hadn't promised an easy life. And we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. But we must be strong if we're going to let our light shine. When I was down on our vacation last week, I saw a young lady. I had to just compliment her. She had a t-shirt on, and she had a Matthew 5:16 on there, had a salt shaker and a light on her shirt. I said, I sure like that salt and light. And I want to tell her how much I appreciate that. That's what you and I ought to be. If we walk around this world we live in, be salt and light. That's what God told us to do. He didn't say I put you here to have an easy life, to have a prosperous life. It's amazing to me that most Americans are worried about the economy. The economy is very important. That's not anything like the most important thing. The most important thing is being right with God. But most people, if you look at the polls, that's what they care about. They wouldn't care if Satan himself would run for office. They'd vote for him. He'd guarantee them a chicken in every pot and a car in every driveway. That's about the right. All right, look at this powerful scripture, mighty scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a powerhouse. This is iron in your blood type scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I know that's a lot of scripture, but I want to just go back and part of that. I love that mighty through God, don't you? What kind of stronghold do you have in your life? You can pull them down by God's grace. They're mighty through God to the pulling down stronghold. We can, anytime, there's no stronghold that we can't pull down by God's grace. And there may be some powerful strongholds in your life you wouldn't want anybody to know about. All right, young men. Everybody, this is a picture particularly to you young men. And it's a hard time to be a young man. It's always hard. It's always been hard to be a young man. That's why Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lust. That's a tough time to be a young man. It's a great time, but it's a tough time. Time to keep a special guard on yourself. But here's how you overcome. Young men overcome. Everybody overcomes that way, but here's how young men especially overcome. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. 1 John 2:14. I have written to you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you are strong. The word of God abideth in you. You've overcome the wicked one. I love that. The word of God is abiding in you, young men. And so therefore, you're overcoming the wicked one. And abide means it's really in there, doesn't it? It's strong in there. You're reading it all the time. You're meditating on it. You need it. And you're giving your manhood to God instead of the world. So those are great scriptures about weapons. Now, I know I'm going fast, but I got to. And I got to print out for everybody that wants to anyway. Here's one that I like. I feel to be very weak a lot of times, but he makes the weak strong. I got a New Testament scripture and an Old Testament scripture. If you're weak tonight, don't worry about that. He makes the weak strong. God does not want people to be strong in themselves. He never said, be strong in yourself. He always says, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. But never in yourself. And when you try to be strong in yourself, you're going to fall like Peter did. And like other people in the Bible, when they forgot and they thought they could stand on their own, you cannot do it. So I love so much what Paul had to say. Even he himself, as big as he was, and tough as he was, and brave as he was, he could not make it on his own. He had to depend on God Almighty. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. And God's speaking to him here, and as he called to the third heaven. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. A paradox, but a great truth in it. When I'm weak in myself, I'm strong in the Lord. That's a great scripture. And Paul needed that even, as powerful as he was. Now, one of our good old favorites, and you know this, we could even sing it if we wanted to, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. And my theme here is, again, an Old Testament scripture and a New Testament scripture. He makes the weak strong. Okay. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He giveth, I love this, he giveth power to who? The faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. I got to read that again to get a running start. Isn't that great? He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary in their own strength. And the young men shall utterly fall. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because they're waiting on the Lord. Okay, now, another theme I've got here, we find our strength in him and in his grace. Some of these are overlapping. We find our strength in him and in his grace. 2 Timothy 2:1, the last letter Paul wrote. He's writing it to Timothy. He's in prison. Paul is. Timothy is afraid. Paul's strengthening him. The road is rough. The persecution is real and hot. So he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Not in yourself. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. All right, Acts 3:16. The man had been healed. His name, through faith in his name. Now, faith, Faith believes God and trusts God. Let me say that. That's the simple definition and the good definition. It believes God and trusts God. Okay? So that's what you've got to do, what I've got to do. His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith is a strong thing. Now, Abraham, sometimes we're weak in faith, but lots of times you're strong in faith. I love this powerful verse over in Romans 4:20. This is a powerhouse. I got a lot of powerhouses in life. These are all, to me, they're powerful. Romans 4:20, speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but strong in faith, giving glory to God. He believed God's promises, didn't he? Even when it seemed like he couldn't believe them. You know what? You remember this on the 22nd chapter of Genesis? God had promised him that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But he said, you offer Isaac up as a sacrifice. What did Isaac tell those young men? What did he tell those young men? The lad and I will go yonder and return. He believed that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead, but he's going to kill him. That's how strong his faith was. Isn't that something? He told those young men. And God said, you go up there and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. But God had promised him, and Isaac shall thy seed be called. This looks like an impossibility. I'm telling you to kill your son. So how can it be then? Only one way that could happen is you got to raise him from the dead. I and the lad shall go yonder and worship. We shall return again. He's strong in faith. He's staggered not at the promise of God. He's strong in faith, giving glory to God. All right, so faith, okay? But how about joy? You need to learn how to be happy in the Lord. If you haven't been happy in the Lord today, we ought to probably get happy in the Lord. You can't do it artificially, but if you start thinking about God and playing some songs, and like I mentioned here, even Sunday on our trip home the other day, I just got feeling bad about myself for no reason, except I'm just a sinner. I guess that's right above. I guess the thing of how rotten I am. Now, I just got kind of down. I didn't tell my wife about it. I didn't want to drag her down. But we put a good old CD on with some good music, and all of a sudden it just released something in me, and I just rejoiced all the way home. So you got to do it sometime. Look at what it said in Nehemiah 8:10. And I'll just read the part I want. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. The devil doesn't want you to rejoice in the Lord. Think about all the bad stuff he wants you to think about. Think about how bad you are. Think about how bad the world is. Worry about the future. All this kind of stuff. Rob us of our joy. We got to rejoice in the Lord, haven't we? The joy of the Lord, your strength. Don't forget that. So the devil does everything he can to try to destroy that. Okay, here's one of your favorites, my favorites, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. All right? That's Psalm 46:1. Yep. Now, this is an old person doing this one, so I'm going to say something to old folks in a minute. I'm getting almost there, not quite. But I will say this. David's getting old in Psalm 71. And in verse 16, he says this. Psalm 71:16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. That's Psalm 71:16. I'm getting a sampling. If you want to do some more studying, there's lots out there. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. That's Isaiah 12:2. Psalm 118:14. And by the way, this is also in the Chronicles that David had that psalm over here. But David's rejoicing here on one of his deliverances. Said about the same thing Isaiah said. In Psalm 118:14, the Lord is my strength and song. Become my salvation. So God is my strength and my song. He become my salvation. Okay, one more topic and we'll be through. He's going to give us just what we need. God's going to give us what we need. He will give us what we need. So we want strength for next week. He won't give it to you, so you don't need it yet. We want strength to undergo persecution. You don't need it yet. You're not going to be persecuted yet. We want strength to die. You don't need it yet. You don't need digression. You're not dying yet. If you are, He'll give it to you. He made it plain in Deuteronomy 33:25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just serve me today. Trust me, serve me today. Walk close to me today. Be obedient today. Walk in fellowship with me today. Love me today. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. All right, now, old folks. A couple of old folks. Then we got some other things, and we'll be closing. You remember Caleb, how strong Caleb was? I'm going to tell you how Caleb, but you know why he was strong, don't you? Because he wholly followed the Lord. That's he and Joshua went with the spies. They had the 12 spies that spied out Canaan's land. 10 of them brought back a bad report. So that's a great land, okay, but those giants are over there, we can't take it. And Joshua and Caleb tried to steal the people, saying, Lord, we can do it. We can fight those giants. And God's word says they wholly followed the Lord. So therefore, when Caleb, an old man, he's 85 years old, and look what he says in Joshua 14:11. In fact, he wants to go get this mountain. He's after it. He don't want to just lay it, get in a rocking chair and retire. As Joshua 14:11, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, but to go out and to come in. Ronnie, I talked to your daddy on the phone today. He's one of these Calebs. He's a real tall, still feeling strong warrior. And now, for all the older people in our church, and you kids, listen to this, because it's our obligation to pass our heritage down to you. So you better listen, but you got to listen to them. If you kids ain't got time to listen to them, I think most of the people here respect our older people. But I want to encourage you to do that for sure. And hang around them and talk to them. Hear the experiences they've got. I remember one time Hannah really got a lot out of Sister Annie Henson. Sister Annie Henson was an old patriarch, a matriarch, I mean. She was just something else. I just love her to death. I've got a lot to tell about her. And Hannah one time spent the night with her when she was a little bitty girl. Never has forgotten that. Sister Annie told her so many stories about how God took care of her. Sister Annie kind of got scared that night, though. Hannah got up or something, and she was kind of disoriented. She went home. She said, I felt this little hand kind of rub across my face at night. She said, kind of scared me at first. But anyway, Hannah got a lot out of staying with Sister Annie Henson because Sister Annie had walked with the Lord. She's seen some real powerful deliverances from God. So hear what David said. I'm an old fellow now. But I got one more job to do. This is Psalm 71:18. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I show thy strength to this generation, thy power to everyone that's to come. So hang around our older people who walk with God, and they'll tell you about God's strength and power. Okay? All right, now let's just say the whole roof caves in on us. I hope it doesn't do it, but let's just say the whole roof's going to cave in. Economically. It did in the book of Habakkuk. Everything went bad. In fact, I think I'll turn there and read that. I've got one verse, but I won't read some verses to precede that. Let's go to chapter 3. You know this. I know very well, but let's be reminded of it tonight. It's really rough. So look at chapter 3, and you know this. Let's look at verse, the last verse is what I was going after, but I'm going to read down to the last verse. Now, we may have an economic downturn that we won't even be able to believe. We've got people right now that need jobs, but it could get a lot worse. It may, I don't know where it will not. I don't know. I'm not going to promise anything. I know God will take care of us. But I will read you some people who had it a lot worse than we got it. And look at the attitude they had in chapter 3, verse 17 through 19 of Habakkuk. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail, and a field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the stall, from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make me feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk upon mine high places. And we saw some goats like that one time in India, Isaac and Timothy, and I did the last time we were there. Kind of, we saw some mountain goats going up a mountain. Remember that, Timothy? It's unbelievable. Kind of reminded me of this verse right here. Pretty rough place. I'll make you skilled. But it's okay. And then finally this. This is the book of Haggai. And here's what makes us strong. If God goes with us, we'll be strong. So God told them, it's time for you to rebuild the wall. You've neglected it. You got distracted. You've gotten involved in your own pursuit so much you've forgotten God's house. So he's encouraging them to repent and do better. And they did, by the way. They had a good attitude. But I think what helped them to have that good attitude was this, because they had a daunting task ahead of them, like many of our tasks are daunting tasks. So Haggai 2:4. And Zerubbabel was their leader, so he'll be mentioned here. And Joshua was one of their leaders, the high priest. So this is Haggai chapter 2, verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all the people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Now I'm saving my punchline. I'm going to read that again. I got a punchline here. Ready? You leaders and you people, be strong now. You got a big job to be strong. There can be a reason for them to be strong. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Can't beat that with a stick, can you? I'm with you. Be strong. So friends, tonight, let's be strong in the Lord, the power of his might.